You'd probably recognize Annabelle Gurwitch from her years as host of TBS's Dinner in a Movie and as the co-author of You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up. She's appeared in guest roles on shows like Seinfeld, Boston Legal, Dexter, is a regular commentator on NPR and a contributor to The Nation, Glamour, and Marie Claire. And now she's written a collection of coming-of-middle-age essays about the hazards of turning 50. It's called I See You Made an Effort, Compliments, Indignities, and Survival Studies from the Edge of 50. It's published by Blue Rider Press. I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show.
Hello. Oh, thank you so much. That's so funny, Lennon. You said, and survival studies. It's actually survival stories.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Like studies.
But I just was doing a whole thing about studies of plastic and thinking about surviving plastic. I've been using plastic all my life.
I'm a case study for turning 50. I would say I'm also a cautionary tale. You know, one of the reasons why I wrote this book is I think there's this canard that goes around that we have in society now. This, you know, 40 is a new 30, 50 is a new 40. It's just not true.
Well, the AARP doesn't recognize that. When you turn 50, they send you a mailing.
You get that mailing. And the first, I actually talk about that in the book, that the first email I got when I opened it up and I saw the picture, and there are those sort of drones, those de-sexed AARP army in their pleated khakis. I thought it was an ad for white-collar prison uniforms. And I was like, oh, my God, the AARP. Now, I actually think, Leonard, that the AARP should be have a deal with, like, the NSA because they track you down. They have good – they know everybody's age.
Oh,
they
I think they have access to all birth records.
Oh, they find you.
But the thing is, it also suggests that 50 is a time when people are already becoming retired. But –
Well, that's not going to happen anymore. Yeah, well, that's that whole thing about 50 is a new 40. 50 is actually what I like to say is 50 is still 50, but it's the new 50. There's a new 50. I mean, we're in this sort of, I think we're sort of a test case, really. When you think about it, we're in this new time. So particularly, you've got women who are having children later. So they're hitting this age when you have kids at home, you've got aging parents, you're stressed in all these different ways. This is a new 50. My mother was a grandmother at 50.
But aren't we all getting caught up in this? Early in the book, you tell a story about fantasizing about having an affair with a young technician at the Apple store.
Well, that's because I find someone who can fix my computer a sexual turn-on now. That's not something I ever
And your husband can't do that?
No, he's a Jewish guy. We make reservations. We're not.
There's some Jewish guys I know about.
That is very true. That's true. No, he's not.
I met one once.
Yeah, one. Yes, thank you. Very memorable. Actually, I heard there is this thing, this Apple Genius Bar thing that women. It's apparently a hookup place. It's better than Match.com. People seduce their geniuses. It's actually a true thing, but I do think that we're in this different moment in this cultural zeitgeist. Plus, so you're having these things happen at different times now. My mother was a grandmother at 50. My grandmother was retired at 50. I mean, things are happening at different ages for people. At the same time, people are living longer, and so we're actually further from retirement. So we have this, you know, they're calling it the sandwich generation, where you're stretched, you know, we're the meat, you're stretched between the needs for your kids. You've got kids that are home. You've got parents that are aging that you have to help take care of. And you still have to earn money. You still have to, you know, retirement's further away. You've got to take care of yourself. You've got to exercise. You've got to eat right. That's why it's called I See You Made an Effort. It takes a lot of effort to get out of the bathrobe every day.
Actually, in our next hour, we're going to talk about the changing demographics in our country and the differences between the boomers and the millennials and all, and a lot of people feel like they're caught in the middle of all of that.
Right. Well, you know, every 7.5 seconds an American turns 50. And that is going to be changing our whole country. I mean, you have to think that's going to change entertainment. It's going to change economics. It's really going to be transforming us. It's the first time in American history that this age will be the biggest demographic.
Well, this is the tail end of the boomers, isn't it?
Tail end boomers, yeah. You know, it's funny because I know I'm considered a boomer. 1961 is considered the tail end. I never felt like a boomer. I always felt a little bit more disenfranchised than those boomers. They seemed to be more motivated than
I always resist what being told that my whatever it is, my religion, my age group or whatever it is believes such and such a thing.
I know. I hate to be grouped in with that. But, you know, then again, there is a certain zeitgeist, and particularly for women. And now, I mean, let me just say, this book is not just for women, but there is this thing about this drumbeat of, like, looking young and how you're supposed to look and this expectation that is simply, you know, it's just you can't achieve this unless you apply massive amounts of cash, massive amounts of money, and it becomes a class issue. You know, how you look in this ageism. It's class and money.
Well, since you've written about it here, your husband knows that you fantasized about that a guy at the Apple store, the genius at the Apple store, who's just a few years older than your own son. He is, your husband is a comedy writer as well. In fact, your collaborator on You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up. Mm-hmm. What was his reaction?
You know, well,
did he just want the same right to ogle young women?
Well, yes, absolutely. You know, sure. My husband, you know, I didn't have him read this book until I was already finished with it because I didn't know how it was going to go over with him. You know what they say, you know, best not to, you know, give birth to a writer, to marry a writer. I mean, you know, it's always a mistake to have people writing about you personally. But I'll just say it's a fiction. I didn't actually seduce my Apple genius. I thought about it, but it didn't actually happen yet. Not yet.
My guess is Annabelle Gurwitch, her book, I See You Made an Effort, Compliments, Indignities, and Survival Stories from the Edge of 50. 50 is also a time when we look back at our life and our career. Mm-hmm. You write that you're stuck in what you call Hollywood adjacent. What does that mean?
Well, okay, so I do think at this moment, you know, you spend your 20s, your 30s, maybe in your 40s, you're still possibly in this striving, in this becoming mode. And for me, at least, I felt I had to make some kind of acceptance with this idea that I had not only reached middle age, but I had middled in my career. And I felt that that was, you know, if I didn't make some kind of acceptance with that, it was going to keep me in a very unhappy state. And in terms of Hollywood, I want to say there's a very low quotient. If you're looking for the celebrity book, this isn't it. But I do live in Los Angeles, and I consider it Hollywood adjacent because I live in the shadow of this industry that I have worked in, but I have not reached that apex. And I describe it as, you know, you're sitting in the traffic, in the dusty traffic, and you look up, and there, right above your head, you know, 50 feet in the air is a billboard of someone who you were in a movie with, and you can't believe you shared the same air that you drank from, the same water bottle that you laughed together, and now they're on this billboard and lights, and you're sitting in traffic trying to get to an audition to play a mother in a commercial that you might or might not get, that thousands of people are competing for.
Well, you've been around. Have you ever been considered for a show of your own? Or is
I've headlined shows. It was on Dinner and a Movie for many years. I headlined not necessarily the news on HBO. There were other series that were not memorable that have come and gone. And sure, but you know, Hollywood
is an
industry.
But mostly you got those guest appearances.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I worked for many years, and I had numerous shows that I headlined. But, you know, Hollywood is a youth-oriented culture and business. And, you know, that's one of the things the book is about. It's not just about Hollywood, but in society in general, how you begin to feel you become invisible. As you reach a certain age, you realize that people younger than you don't see you in the same way.
Was that indicated by the kinds of roles you were being offered? Younger, sexier, older, a little older, suddenly.
Oh my God. Well, first of all,
you stop being offered roles as a prostitute at a certain point?
Yeah, unless you're like the old, wizened prostitute. You know, I give a chart in the book about where you stand in the hierarchy of Hollywood when you're an actress over 50, and it is below deceased former reality star and sloth and Starbucks barista. You know,
You're Meryl Streep.
Unless you're one of those few people. The funny thing is, you know, I read for my first grandmother role, which I would have been happy to play 2 years ago. And when I got the call from my agent, I said, I think there's a mistake. They probably haven't seen me lately. You know, they don't know how good I look. Well, it turns out the producer was my neighbor, who sees me all the time and had no problem imagining me as a grandmother. I would have liked to have gotten it. Someone younger than me got the role.
Plastic surgery comes up in the book. You write that you've had things injected into your face that you wouldn't clean your house with. And then you also decided to have hormone replacement therapy despite all of the controversy that surrounds it.
Right. So let's talk about the second thing first. So I think we, you know, they always, there is a saying, you know, if men got it, there'd be a cure for it, right? I mean, this is one of those experiences.
They do call it menopause.
They do call it menopause. There's very little men in menopause. Can I just say that if you mention the words, these two words together, you will clear the room of men. And those two words are dry vagina. Okay, so hormone replacement therapy, you know, there you will find. So the day I decided to do it, the day that I started, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, front page stories, each citing studies coming to different conclusions. There is evidence on both sides of whether or not this is really recommended, not recommended. And I, from my understanding, it really has to do with also what balance of them you're taking. And I decided to do it. And it is confounding to women. I mean, my book is not a how-to book. I'm giving, you know, sharing my story. And it's confusing. And I still wonder about it. But the plastic surgery thing, I just want to say this. You know, in our culture, as many websites as you'll find of people saying, look at the terrible things they've done to their faces, you'll find as many of people saying, look how old they are. It's you know, I'm not for or against. I'm trying to walk a middle road. I've tried different things. I think it's all ridiculous. At the same time, it's a zero-sum game.
Well, actually, I've seen good plastic surgery and bad plastic surgery. I never understand why some people who could afford good plastic surgery wind up with bad plastic surgery.
Well, see, that's just it, right? We all want the work that's so good that nobody notices it.
You also tell the story about deciding whether or not to add a scarf to an outfit. And, of course, that brings to mind Nora Ephron's mm-hmm. I Feel Bad About My Neck. I'm assuming you read that book.
I did read that book, and here's the funny thing. So I read that book when I was about, I just turned 40, and I didn't get it, right? I was like, oh, what's the big deal? I read it again right before I started writing this one. I get it now. You know, some things you have to age into. And I do write about how hard it is to try to figure out how to, you know, adjust to, it's not just, you know, how you look on the outside or what you think society wants you to look like, but how you feel as a different person. And I talk about this Eileen Fisherization, you know, these drapey fabrics that make you look like an elder council in a dystopian science fiction movie. It's, you know, it's a real mystery to figure it out.
Now, in an earlier collection, 2006, mm-hmm. called Fired, Tales of the Can, Cancel, Downsize, and Dismiss, mm-hmm. you wrote about being fired by Woody Allen. What was the problem? Yes. You were too young, too old?
Very funny. What he said was, you look retarded when you do that, to me in rehearsal. I believe, Leonard, that I sucked in the play that he was directing off-Broadway that I was in. And
so it was your own fault?
It was my... Listen, the reason why I say that is was one of the goals with that collection, and that was my story in that book. It was stories by Ann Meara and Jeff Garlin and Bill Maher and former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, and it's a documentary film. The reason I did that book was to destigmatize this experience of being fired, because particularly in this new economy, people are going from jobs to jobs to jobs. It's a freelancer's economy. And I thought, you know, I only, you know, talked about my story with Woody Allen because it was such a famous person that I was fired by, that it was a great way to get other people to tell their stories. This book is, you know, I do feel like I sort of, my thing is the comedy of humiliation is what I call it, you know, and the goal of I See You Made an Effort was to destigmatize this thing of aging. You know, when I perform now, I have people introduce me as Annabelle Gurwitch since 1961. Instead of just, you know, instead of trying to hide it, I'm just going straight out for it. I think we should embrace it.
Well, you have had some successes. Donald Margulies was here the other day, and you starred
Donald.
In one of his plays.
I did
wonderfully.
I did.
We should mention that you'll be in conversation with Randy Cohn at the 92nd Street Y this Thursday at 8:15. And if listeners would like information about tickets, they can go to our show page at WNYC.org. You can also get this book, which is from Blue Rider Press, called I See You Made an Effort, Compliments and Dignities and Survival Stories from the Edge of 50. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Oh, thank you so much, Leonard.